We'll be continuing today on our study on the attributes of God. But before that, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this wonderful day that you've granted to us. Thank you, Father, for this time of singing and prayer and also for the opportunity to study your word. Father, as we meditate on your word and look into you, the attributes of God, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us who you truly are, that we may give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking these past several weeks on the shared or communicable attributes of God. And so far, we have covered six of them. Love, Spirit, grace, His mercy, His holiness, and also His wrath. And in today's session, we'll be looking at God's wisdom. But before we dive in, I want us to consider why it is important for us to pursue and manifest these shared attributes in our daily Christian life. So if you go to the next slide, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we read this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created man in his own image. And the fact that this is repeated twice in the same verse emphasizes the importance of that theme. We are all made in the image of God. And because we bear his image, it goes on to follow that God has imprinted some of those attributes in us. But at the same time, we should also understand that even though we share these attributes, we do not share the full extent of them. For example, attributes such as God's love, his goodness, they are infinite. And we as humans cannot even come close to exhibiting those attributes at that level. But given that we are made in his likeness, we can exhibit those attributes to a much lesser extent. So continuing that thought, last week, Reggie spoke about God's attribute of holiness. And in that study, we saw or we read how prophet Isaiah, when he saw the Lord and saw his holiness, he immediately cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone." So even though we are sinners with unclean lips, God commands us to be holy because unless we pursue holiness and peace, we will not be able to see the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the author reminds us this particular verse. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. And so just as children in this world tend to copy their parents, we as God's children, bought by his precious blood, are to imitate and copy him. Because only then can we begin to cultivate and manifest those shared attributes in our daily Christian life. So with that, I'd like to move on to our topic for today, which is about the wisdom of God. Now, Bible is filled with many examples of God's wisdom. And often we find in the scriptures that wisdom is used interchangeably with knowledge and understanding. So let's look at a few of these verses. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So in these verses, we see that there is a strong connection between these three terms, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. They are not entirely the same, though. Let's look at a few verses in the scripture that sheds some more light on this. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6 to 8, we read this, "A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands." Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of the fools is deceit. So wisdom is built on a foundation of knowledge and understanding. If we go to the next slide, in this slide, you will see what is called the truth or the knowledge pyramid. And it shows three layers and the dependency across these three layers. So at the base, you have knowledge. And when you seek out after knowledge and you're able to discern and comprehend that knowledge, you begin to gain understanding, which is the second layer that you see in that pyramid. And once you gain understanding of that knowledge and you are able to produce the best possible outcome using the best possible means, that's when you gain wisdom, which is the highest form of comprehension that you see here. So you can see here that though wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are used interchangeably, they are not exactly the same. And this chart kind of gives you a better picture of the interdependency between these three terms. Now, I'd like to look at another passage from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And it says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew." So in these verses, King Solomon is reminding us and placing God's wisdom at the very beginning of creation. It was God's language of wisdom that established the foundations of the earth, laid the foundation of the earth and established the heavens. In the book of Job, we see that when Job is struggling with many questions in his life, God is reminding him of his wisdom at the beginning of creation. We read in Job chapter 38 and verse 4, "Out of the whirlwind, God asked, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Similarly, when prophet Jeremiah was languishing in prison, and he was also wrestling with these kind of questions in his life, he is actually reminding himself about those foundational statements. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, we read, "O Lord God, you yourself made the heavens and earth by your great power and with your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." So the wisdom of God is perfect and complete, and all creation is filled with the evidence of God's wisdom. Now, we heard from several brothers in this series on the attributes of God about the scale and wonder of the universe. And it is through wisdom and understanding that our holy God designed the heavens and the earth. For example, God established the moon, which has been used by many cultures to keep track of months. Similarly, God created the stars in the heavens, which has been used by sailors to guide themselves home while they were on the seas. And even God created the sun to be at the right distance from the earth so that it could get enough warmth for creation to thrive. So these are just a few examples that demonstrate and remind us about God's wisdom and knowledge, which is perfect and complete. And then in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, we read this, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways." So God is the fountainhead and source of all wisdom, and it's clearly evident in spiritual creation as well, as seen in the Gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul compares the wisdom of God with man's wisdom. And he goes on to show that the world has failed the true test of wisdom because they were unable to recognize Christ as the Messiah and as the Son of God. Let's look at that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 20 to 25. "Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. So Paul here is taking two groups of people, the Jews and the Greeks, and he shows that, and he shows how God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. For example, the Jews were always looking for signs, from above, miracles from heaven. And while Jesus was here on earth, he refrained from giving any signs to these Jews. We see twice in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself is stating that these Jews are always looking for signs, and no signs will be shown to them apart from the sign of Prophet Jonah. Let's look at those verses. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39. And it says, but he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Prophet Jonah. And we see that same statement reiterated again by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 4. So the Jews that are referred to here comprised of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And we see that they obviously ignored the sign of Prophet Jonah, which was actually referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. That was the stumbling block of the Jews. Similarly, when it came to the intellectual Greeks, their worldview was not based on science, but instead it was based on reason, thought, and deduction. They had various philosophies and notions on life, which they practiced. One of which was popular, and it's even popular today, was based on the Epicurean school of thought. And we all know their slogan, right? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Such was the wisdom of the Jews, that in their narrow worldview, they failed to recognize that Christ was himself the embodiment of God's wisdom and knowledge. Paul mentions this very fact in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 24. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. It says, yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. He mentions this. Paul mentions the same truth again in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. He says there, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. So God's wisdom and knowledge was made visible in Christ. And we have access to this wisdom by having a personal and intimate relationship with our Savior. If you think, right, while Jesus was living here on earth, he used parables as his tool of communication with the people. Parables, as you all know, are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And even his disciples asked him why he spoke to the people in parables. And when Jesus Christ was asked this question, he gave a very revealing answer. We see that in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, then the disciples came up and asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. And then he goes on to quote from Isaiah in verse 14, which says, you will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. So the people who believed in Christ as their Messiah and had that personal relationship with him they understood the parables and they could comprehend the knowledge and wisdom of the kingdom of God. But when we consider those Jews and Greeks who did not believe, nor were they interested, that understanding, they remained without understanding of what the parables of Jesus actually meant. So in closing, one of the truths we learn from the passages is that the power of God and the wisdom of God is in the gospel of Christ alone. It is not in the intellectual ideas of men, nor in their narrow-viewed viewpoints or philosophies. All that is foolishness in the eyes of God. What matters is that we should put Jesus Christ as friend and center in our lives. He should be the object of our highest admiration because he is the image of the invisible God. And as we read, in him lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What an amazing God we serve. Let us continue to worship and honor him. May his name be glorified.